Good morning.
Hi, good morning, Elias.
And how are you proceeding now?
I'm raising my glass half full to you.
Excellent.
Yeah, the last session did have an impact on me, and so I'd like to follow up on that a little bit, but if that's all right with you, I would like to start with some more global questions, and then we can go into my personal movement.
Very well.
Okay. First of all, I'd like to ask about where is the collective awareness at? I would say it probably doubles a little bit faster than every month at this point. Although I wonder if it hasn't been wobbling a little bit, like speeding up a little bit, slowing down a little bit, speeding up a little bit kind of movement.
That I would agree with. That I would agree with, yes.
It hasn't been consistent.
Correct.
But generally speaking, where would you say it's at?
Clarify that question.
Well, if we look at that expression, let's say in the range of the past month, what would be the overall movement, or at what speed does it double?
First of all, I would express that you might be confusing the rate of awareness to the rate of movement in technology. When I was expressing what was doubling very quickly, that was in relation to technology, not in relation to what the global awareness was.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was
Therefore,
definitely confusing it.
that is a different question. And in that, yes, your technology is doubling faster and faster and faster. But in relation to personal awareness, that is increasing. Most definitely, but it isn't moving in any type of expression close to your rate of increasing your technology.
Oh, well, that's kind of a relief actually, because because if individual and collective awareness was doubling every month, I was like, we should be doing better than this. Okay.
I would agree.
Let me ask you a question that's been in my mind for a while in relation to the shift and the earth changes. I've been wondering about national borders. Of the countries. Upon completion of the shift, I would imagine that what we now have as national borders will be very different.
Not entirely. I would say it isn't as much that your national borders will be tremendously different, but how you perceive them will be different.
Right, I mean
You won't.
the movement between borders would be different, no?
That actually depends. That depends on what you are doing now in relation to climate change. Because you could move in one direction in which, yes, the movement between borders would be much more relaxed and much more open. Or you could move in a direction in which there could be significant difficulties in relation to that, not necessarily in relation to borders, but in relation to the ability to move.
You mean individual transportation?
It isn't so much transportation, it is more availability of space arrangement and what is developed and what isn't developed.
Meaning there would be, in some cases, there wouldn't be much of a point to be moving across borders.
Correct.
Okay.
Because there might not be something to move to.
What about the Canada-USA border? I'm thinking as the earth changes intensify, Canada's going to look very attractive.
In some capacities, but I would express that it is likely that that will blur to an extent because the cultures are similar, and therefore that will be easier for that to blur. But there are a considerable amount of actions and movements and directions that must be accomplished now that will form what will be in the configuration of those types of expressions futurely. Once again, are, in a manner of speaking, presuming that once you are shifted, that it will be a world that is more similar to a utopia. Everything will be fixed. Everything will be fine. That isn't necessarily correct. It will be different, and there will be considerable changes, but I would also express that much of how your world is presented or what it looks like has to do with what you do now.
An indicator of that would be the attitudes toward welcoming refugees or not, right?
Partially. Also, as I have expressed previously, moving in directions of creating new infrastructures, moving in directions of rather than building or continuing to build or continuing to rebuild in places that are volatile, making choices to build in places that can be sustained.
And Canada has plenty of those.
Yes, you are correct. And so does Russia, and so does the United States, and Australia. There are places that do incorporate a considerable amount of landmass that is unused. Now, it also is a matter of looking at those landmasses in a responsible capacity, not choosing large or major forested areas to cut down and remove and build there,
Of course.
but to choose areas that are not forested, that are not being used, and places that can potentially be incorporated for farming.
Let me ask you, what would you say going forward in this century? What would you say are the top skills or the top fields of activity for that will be necessary or solicited of individuals? Because the way it sounds like we will be, to varying degrees, and essentially pitted against survival. And I'm thinking that the fields of healing, healthcare will be of increased importance. Obviously, food production, obviously, infrastructure, construction. You mentioned necessity to invest into space travel. What would you say are the most important fields of development and activity? But maybe from the perspective what individuals can invest themselves in going forward, because a large part of our economies, especially in so-called developed countries, is based on very trivial stuff. It's which I would imagine will not necessarily be viable going forward.
What I would say to you is what you incorporate a tremendous amount of your economic expression to is protection at this point, in a manner of speaking. Armed forces and weaponry. This is a direction that you generate a significant amount of your economy towards. Now, what I would say is, futurely, that will be unnecessary. And that part of your economy could be diverted into construction,
Why would it
service.
be unnecessary?
Because once you accomplish this shift, the constructs that you have in relation to military will be somewhat obsolete.
Okay, well,
You develop military expressions for two reasons. for protection and for aggression. You hold military forces and weaponry with the idea that you are protecting yourselves and with the idea that you can be aggressive and conquer. Both of those directions will be obsolete.
Sounds good to me.
Because the more self-aware you are, and the more you actually objectively recognize your interconnectedness, the more you don't need protection, and the more you won't move in a direction of aggression and conquering.
Mm-hmm.
There is no reason for dominating.
See, that alone is, relatively speaking, compared to how things have been, that does sound like utopia. But I understand what you mean. We're not creating total utopia. But this is an element that I think, you know, many, 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 many people will welcome as a very beautiful development.
I agree. But in the meantime, what I would express to you that is important is construction and the development of technology, which you are already doing, but also the development of land masses to support yourselves in a different capacity than what you are doing presently.
What?
And I would say to you, my friend, if you are genuinely any of you, it doesn't matter what position you are in, if you are genuinely looking at your planet, all over your world, you are creating significant manifestations to be affecting of economies already,
mm-hmm,
in significant, serious capacities.
Yes. What about healthcare in all this? I'm wondering, what is healthcare going to look like upon completion of the shift? I would imagine that along with technological developments, which I think probably most individuals will still see technology as a crucial element of healthcare. But I would also imagine...
Yes.
You said yes?
Yes, definitely.
But I'm wondering, isn't there also going to be more awareness or more capacity for self-healing without the gadgets?
I would say, what I would say is somewhat both. What I would say is individuals will incorporate more of a self-awareness in relation to their participation in healing. But I would say that many, if not most, individuals will continue to rely on technology in relation to healing, not because you don't have the ability to do it yourself, but because I would say, realistically speaking, most individuals aren't interested in that. Most individuals would rather not think about it, not engage any effort themselves, and merely rely on someone else, a healer with technological abilities to facilitate the healing.
I see.
Which, at the rate that your technology is advancing, although in relation to healing and medical expressions, it is moving somewhat slower, but it will eventually catch up, and you will move in directions in which you divert that technology in medical directions. And once you begin doing that significantly, that will be a very tremendous change in relation to healing expressions.
You said that we have created more disease than any in the last 200 years or so. We have created more diseases than at any other time in our history. With the shift,
Yes, far fetched. Yeah, and you continue to do so.
well, what about, are we poised to reverse that with the shift?
Yes,
And
you
what?
can,
Oh, we
and it
can.
is likely you will.
Okay.
I
And
would express that. I would say that the direction that you are moving in is that you are escalating the dis-ease before you move in a direction of eradicating that or lessening it considerably. But that would be consistent with most of the directions that you engage. You paint yourselves into a corner first.
we're bringing things to a point of crisis.
Precisely. And you are continuing to do it. And as I expressed previously, now in addition to all of the different diseases and expressions of maladies that you have created in relation to yourselves as your species, you are branching out and creating them in relation to other species. And your first targets are food sources.
I heard you say that.
I would say that it isn't only the produce in certain countries or the wine in France. You are also creating a situation in which the olive oil, olives, and olive trees are being tremendously affected in Italy. Disease, disease, disease.
What is the Upon completion of the shift, what is a likely lifespan, generally speaking, for humans? Is lifespan likely to go up?
Definitely.
And
Definitely.
what kind of number would you put on that? Not as an
I would say
absolute, but.
that at the completion of this shift, it is likely that an average lifespan will be approximately 100 years of age, which is significant because at this present moment, the average lifespan throughout your entire world is generally between 69 years of age and 75 years of age. Therefore, you will be increasing your average lifespan by 25 to 30 years
Right,
at the
that's
least,
okay.
which
Okay.
is considerable.
Yeah, I would say. Okay, I had another question, but it just slipped and I can't find it. Okay. Oh right, this is what I wanted to ask. 'Cause so I'm referencing the completion of the shift, the completion of the shift. Is that still more or less in, around 2075? Is that still what would be the.
Yes.
Okay, so that hasn't moved.
No.
Okay. Okay, well, thank you for all this. It's very interesting.
Are very welcome.
Let's talk about that glass half empty a little bit.
There you go.
And I would start with an acknowledgement, because in relation to the health challenges that I've experienced in the past couple years, I have to say that the glass half full there is that this has been a very potent framework where I significantly develop not only my awareness but my energetic healing abilities, both in terms of interacting with essences and manipulating my own energy. And also I have been gradually actually discovering objectively what that expression of allowance is, and all of
I would definitely agree.
and I'm seeing in all this how, what you've said before, I'm seeing this more clearly that all of this has actually been following my desire.
Yes.
And it hasn't been comfortable. It still isn't in some respects, but I just wanted to acknowledge that as, a glass half full aspect in all this.
And I would congratulate you, my friend. I would say that that is a significant turn in perception. Now, what I would say to you is I would very much encourage you to maintain that perception.
Yes. Yes, and one thing also since the last session that has resurfaced in my mind is in relation to any perception of the glass being half empty, there is an expression that I engage from time to time, and this has been ongoing in perhaps all my life, a counterpoint to that expression. And it's, I will at times contemplate the mere fact that we exist or I exist And there's an awe. There's an awe that arises within me when I consider, well, what if there was nothing? I mean, how incredible is it that there's anything at all, that there is consciousness? And when I contemplate that sufficiently, I get into these states where I feel much more clearly the absolute awe and magic of being. And in relation to any moment or any situation where I would see the glass as half empty. Well, that is a tremendous counterpoint to that, to go into that state of contemplation and awe about the mere factor of existence.
I would very much agree, my friend, and I would also congratulate you in that, because that is truly significant to actually allow yourself to stop, to pause for a time and to observe your reality, to look around you and to see the awe-inspiring wonder of all of it, how tremendous it is, and how much you have accomplished, what you have done, how you have evolved from early man, in your terminology, to what you are now is astounding. At what you have accomplished and what you have created. And even if you aren't looking at your species and your accomplishments, the splendor of reality and your physical universe being expressed in an objective physical reality is sublime.
I mean, there could be nothing, but there isn't. There is. I mean, the mere factor that there is consciousness in of itself is just, it makes that glass totally overflow.
Precisely. And then it isn't even half full. It is overflowing. Great.
A couple days after that session, that last session that we had, I was asked to visit this individual who is experiencing cancer. And this individual is presently at the hospital. And this is an individual, as you're aware, that I've visited a few times before. And I don't think the timing of that particular visit was a coincidence in relation to that discussion about the glass half full, because to me it seemed that my visit at that time was a display for me of the glass half empty being taken to an extreme, so to speak.
I would definitely agree.
And it was not lost on me. I saw.
And
And
that is a tremendous accomplishment. Congratulations, my friend.
oh, thank you.
I would say this is exceptionally significant. What you have allowed yourself to discover or rediscover in a manner of speaking.
Right, because this is not something that I've never seen or been aware of, but because of the timing of all this, it really made a strong point and impression on me.
Yes. And I would express that that is tremendous.
Thank you. Can I ask you, in relation to this individual, I had asked you before if a choice had been made in relation to disengagement or not. Would you say that the choice remains the same?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. That's all I'll ask about that.
Very well.
Unless it's not obvious to be, it's not always easy to be helpful because the various individuals involved are not in a place where they are allowing themselves to consider, I believe, genuinely disengagement. So, you know, I really don't see it as my place to try to influence that necessarily.
I agree.
But
and I would say that that in itself can be a challenging realization to engage and to move into a genuine expression of acceptance,
yeah,
and allowance that you don't incorporate your own ideas to influence you in relation to other individuals' directions and their choices, because you aren't the other individual.
That's right.
And you aren't necessarily objectively aware of their value fulfillment, their experiences, and their desires. And therefore, it is a matter of acknowledging your own feelings in relation to other individuals, but also moving in a direction in which you genuinely allow yourself to accept other individuals' choices.
Yes, and you know, for myself in this situation, whenever I do find myself in contact with these individuals, I take the stance of remaining available to discuss wherever they're at and to contribute in soothing through merely my presence, and being available if they ever want to discuss directions of disengagement and you know, ramifications in relation to that. But I'm
yes,
very
that is and I would acknowledge you in that, and I would express that that is excellent because you are allowing yourself to be available, but you also are definitely expressing an acknowledgement to the other individuals that it is their choice.
Right.
Therefore, they choose whether they will avail themselves of that or not.
Right.
And that you are expressing, yes, you are available, but that you can move in a direction of expressing that you support and accept them, whatever their choices are.
Yes.
But that also is a matter of genuinely acknowledging yourself and your feelings and your guidelines, because you might disagree with the direction that the other individuals choose, and that is acceptable.
Sure.
It doesn't mean
Yeah.
that you are obligated to express that to them, but that you can acknowledge it in yourself and also continue to move in a direction in which you can express that acceptance and that allowance with the other individuals.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty clear on that. I think so.
I agree.
Oh, okay, thank you. All right, let's shift gears a little bit. We discussed a little bit last time. I had impressions about that focus in Eastern Europe, which incorporates the same actual Ruby that I now possess in this focus, her name being Sophia. So I got a few more impressions about that, and I would like to run that by you.
Very well.
I am not 100% sure about the actual country that is taking place in. I'm hesitating between Romania and Bulgaria. I would say Romania.
Correct.
And I, if not actually in the city, in proximity to Budapest. Or if it's not that, see, there's another piece. I think in the family, there is a factory involved. I think her husband may have been running a factory. And maybe the factory is in Budapest. I'm not sure.
No.
Okay.
What I would say to you is you are confusing different time frameworks. What I would say to you is what you are tapping into is that the stone passed through Budapest. That isn't its point of origin, but yes, at a point in between then and now, it has been in possession in that location for a time framework.
So there was a different owner in Budapest after Sophia.
Yes.
And that's the factory connection also.
That would be outside of the city, but yes.
And the factory is connected not to Sophia's family, but the other owner.
Yes.
Okay. Sophia typically wore that around her neck, right?
Yes, you are correct.
And the ruby was gifted by her husband.
Correct.
And she was a rather kind, and she is in that time framework, a rather kind and sweet individual.
Yes, I would agree.
Sounds like there was a little bit of a hesitation there.
No, I would definitely agree. I would express that this individual also incorporates somewhat of a feistiness, in a manner of speaking, but definitely was what you would term to be or consider sweet, yes.
Opinionated but sweet.
Not necessarily opinionated,
Okay.
merely feisty.
Okay. John O'Brien in the forum wondered if there, he wondered if there was not a connection to this focus. Was he perhaps the husband?
No, brother-in-law.
Oh, okay. I, for me, the date 1836 came to mind, and for him, the date 1845 came to mind, him being John. What is the significance of those dates, if any?
I would say that the significance of the first date is the year of the marriage union. The significance of the second date is the year of the death.
Of the focus?
Yes.
Okay. Well, thank you. Maybe something more will come. Maybe not, but it's a fun exploration.
Very well.
Last time I was asking you about crystals, and you said that they grow and therefore are living beings in a manner of speaking, and I was wondering, do they continue to grow when outside of their natural habitat, or is that dependent of them being in their natural habitat?
I would expect for the most part, once they have been cut, they don't continue to grow.
Right.
They grow before they are cut, but once they are cut, they stop growing.
Right, because they stop being in contact with quote unquote food sources.
Uh-oh. You could perceive it in that manner. It isn't necessarily a food source,
No, but it's just a manner of
but
speaking.
I understand what you are expressing.
I mean, they are no longer in contact with the elements that would contribute to the growing.
Correct.
Right. Okay, so when they get cut, they are more or less set.
Yes.
When I engage essence interactions, why is the point of most intensity most often beneath the knees? I know I'd asked you before about a certain pulling sensation, pulling down, like toward the feet that were happening, but I'm not specifically referring to that. I'm referring to not necessarily a pulling of energy in that direction, but the mere fact that I will feel usually much more intensity of energy in that location. Is it the same answer, or is there another reason?
And your assessment?
I'm not sure there is a different reason. It's maybe it's a place where energy. No, I wouldn't say. No, I was going to say maybe it's a place where the energy gets accumulated, but I think there are other areas, other energy centers where it does get more accumulated than below the knees.
I would agree.
Does it have to do with perhaps moving energy directly in a problematic spot would not necessarily be productive, but to move energy in periphery of that is more productive?
Partially.
But that's not the main point.
I would agree.
Okay.
I would express that you were more on track with your first assessment, that there isn't a difference.
Okay. So the feet being a place where the energy can be released through the fact that there is
Correct.
increased activity beneath the knees is an indicator of
Moving that energy in that direction.
okay, I get it.
That you are actually objectively aware of it, that you are feeling it, and that you are more intentionally moving the energy in that direction.
So, regardless whether I experience a pulling toward the feet, the mere fact that there is a concentration of energy in those interactions beneath the knees is an indicator of that kind of action happening.
Yes.
Okay. I've noticed that in terms of healing dynamics, when I engage healing sessions, whether it is with essences or whether it is manipulating my own energy, myself, so to speak, all of those actions are more efficient if there has been some physical movement prior to the session, a walk or stretching, yoga, or even sometimes it's not so much physical exercise, but some kind of dynamism, some kind of, I don't know, me going out in the city and doing something, I come back. The healing action seems more potent if I engage it at a point where I have been dynamic in some way rather than have been, say, quiet, for the period before the healing session.
I would agree, and I would express that that is considerably understandable because you are already moving and engaging energy rather than being sedentary.
So the movement that I'm engaging in either in physical exercise capacity or just engaging the world in a manner of speaking, lends itself, there's a continuum between that and the moment of the healing session, say.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, let's do what I refer to as the magnetic action. I will do it now and then we can discuss it.
Very well.
I feel a bit rough this morning. I don't know if this will be, a top 10 performance, but I'll try anyway.
Very well.
Okay, just give me a moment as I sort of settle here. So it's rather mild, but it's happening. I was asking you last time, and you confirmed that one significant development is that the energy center at the top of the head is more is the action that's occurring there has increased in strength compared to before.
I would agree.
Or I, you know, even in an instance such as this one, which is, you know, relatively mild compared to what I can do at times, even in that, the ratio of activity occurring at the top of the head is strong.
I would definitely agree. I would express that the energy you are generating this day is of a considerable warm color quality.
And what does that mean? What does that suggest?
An engaging energy. Reds, golds, bronze. I would express that the vibrational qualities of these colors energetically are, they are warm colors. They are engaging. Therefore, it is an engaging energy rather than an expression of an internal energy or cool colors, which would be an energy that would be more focused internally.
So it's not as contained, perhaps, as other times.
Correct.
And previously, you had said that for the most part, the in relation to the top of the head, that I can connect with any essence, and that up to that point, I was mostly connecting with your energy. Is that still the case?
Yes, but I would express that you are somewhat allowing more and therefore somewhat expanding more.
Okay, I'm going to do something different right now, and then I'll verify something with you.
Very well.
Okay, I'm just about to do it. Okay, what just happened here? Could we say that is pushing?
To a degree, yes,
There
I
was
would
some
agree.
some pushing in that, right?
Yes, I would agree.
Okay, I did it that deliberately because I wanted to make that clear to myself.
Ah, very well. And that is an excellent experiment that you can observe that and experience it, and therefore be more aware of what you are doing.
And now I'm going to do the reverse. I'm going to do allowance.
Very well.
Which is kind of what I was already doing the first time around, but let me do this with this specifically in mind. So what I'm expressing right now does involve an allowance of energy, right?
Yes, which I would express if you are paying attention to that, it feels soothing.
It feels effortless too. Sometimes when I go in this direction and I focus on the expression of allowance and also enoughness, that what is, what already is enough. Sometimes it goes to a point of like, it feels like I'm falling down, like, or that I'm, it feels like a downward sort of movement. Maybe it's like a sort of sinking into gravity almost, which is not unpleasant. What would you say about that?
I would say that is understandable, that what you feel would change if you were incorporating an expression of inspiration that would feel somewhat reverse of what you are expressing. What I would say is that that is understandable because it is somewhat of a display of grounded evenness, contentment, and therefore status quo.
Does that have regenerative aspects to it?
Yes.
Somebody who engages that to an increasing and significant degree, theoretically, could heal anything, no?
I would agree.
Anything. It doesn't matter. Don't need to go into the mechanics and complications or
Correct.
anything, but merely increasing that experience is regenerative in a global manner
Yes, I would agree.
and can actually heal anything in the body.
Yes, I would agree.
Thank you, Elias. I like you.
And I would express to you, I like you too.
Thank you. Okay, let me ask you a few food questions. I don't ask these questions too much at this point, but I would have a few questions in relation to that. First of all, would you agree that I have definitely relaxed the direction or the obsession with manipulating everything to, prevent a worsening of symptoms or heal symptoms? Like, I have really relaxed in relation to that, no?
I would definitely agree. I
In
would definitely agree.
in, in
Because that was definitely an expression of including significant aspects of controlling.
Yes. So without, and I, so I feel strong enough in that at this point that I think I can ask a few food questions without going, all obsessive about it. We had discussed before that, wheat is not necessarily a beneficial substance for me, that it would be contributing physically to inflammation in the digestive system. So, one of the food sources that I do eat regularly are oats, which I enjoy, and I think we've established that that is a beneficial grain that I can eat.
Yes.
Is it important or significant that the oats that I consume be gluten-free, meaning wheat-free, because many times oats are processed in machinery that does process wheat also. So, not that oats themselves contain wheat, but there would, in most cases, I think there would be at least trace elements. So, for the most, not for the most part, I only for now consume oats that are certified gluten-free because they would be wheat-free. But I'm wondering if that is really important.
I would say for the most part, no. I would say that I understand what prompted you to move in that direction, but I would also express that that would be another expression of control, moving in somewhat of an extreme, that it isn't necessary, as you expressed, the amount of weed that might be present would be such trace amounts that it would be non-effective.
So I could relax that.
I would definitely agree, yes.
Okay, that's good. I'm happy about that. What would you say is the most beneficial non-wheat flour that I could use in small quantities? I understand that flour and grains in general, at least for the time being, is not necessarily the most beneficial, but if I were to incorporate relatively small amounts of a certain flour, what would you say? I'm wondering about buckwheat.
Buckwheat would be definitely acceptable.
And what about teff?
I would say that you could actually incorporate most types of flour if they aren't wheat flour.
Okay, and would you agree that for the time being, keep that to small amounts would probably be more advantageous?
Yes, I would express that in relation to anything that you are reintroducing into your diet, that you would move in a direction of doing that in small increments initially.
Okay. Carbonated water. I understand you've already said that, in terms of hydration, it doesn't perform as water, but that's not what my question is about. I'm just saying consuming carbonated water, would you say that is fine, or does it have some adverse effects in some way?
No, not necessarily. I would express that it is not necessarily adverse to the body consciousness. It doesn't assimilate in the body consciousness the same as non-carbonated water, but that doesn't mean that it is not good for you, or that it is detrimental to you in any capacity. No. In actuality, at times, it can actually be a benefit.
I feel that.
Yes. At times, because it is digested. At times, the bubbles, the gas, can actually be a benefit and can actually aid you in some capacities.
Yes, there are times where I feel that prompt to use that, and it really helps to it seems to help in some type of movement or flow in the body.
I would agree, and I would also express that at times it can be soothing to the stomach and the beginning of the small intestines, mainly the stomach, especially if the individual is experiencing nausea.
Mm-hmm.
Necessarily, if it is extreme.
If it is extreme,
that won't necessarily be helpful. But if an individual is experiencing a light expression of nausea, queasiness, that the gas can actually be helpful in that situation. Mm-hmm. It also can be helpful in moving different gases around, in a manner of speaking, in the gut.
Yes, I think that's the part that I have found particularly helpful.
Yes, it can dislodge gases mm-hmm. in the gut that have become somewhat trapped in certain areas.
Mm-hmm.
And or when you are consuming carbonated beverages, it can serve to move that energy around and dislodge some of the gases that are already in your gastrointestinal system, and that can be alleviating of discomfort.
Thank you.
You are very welcome.
Last little question. Could you suggest one or more essential oils that I could incorporate topically or internally to relax the intestines? Something I could apply on the body around the intestines, probably with a carrier oil, or some ingest in small quantities for the purpose of relaxing constriction or tightening of intestines.
I would say at times spearmint oil or I would express small amounts of avocado oil.
Both internally and topically?
The avocado oil internally, the spearmint can be used in either direction.
And the spearmint, we're talking about, in you know, a few drops only.
Yes, very small amounts.
With a carrier oil. Or merely...
Which would be what?
Well, I don't know, avocado oil externally?
No, I would not necessarily advise it with another oil.
Okay, just by itself.
Yes.
On the spots where I might feel a tightening, and also in perhaps drinking a drop or two in water.
Yes.
Is that advice that would generally be applicable to most people?
In varying degrees, but not everyone.
Okay, so it's not a blanket... Okay. All right, well, thank you so much, Elias. I very much enjoyed our conversation and definitely looking forward to the next one.
Very well. And I shall be also. I express congratulations to you, my friend, in a multitude of accomplishments.
Thank you.
Continue on in that direction.
Definitely.
And I shall be offering my energy to you in support, encouragement.
Thank you.
In tremendous lovingness, as always. Au revoir.
Au revoir.